Welcome to the HR Business Blueprint Podcast. I'm Nikki Masterman, founder and CEO of Inspired HR. In this series, alongside my fabulous guests, we will be chatting about becoming a consultant and building a HR business. Today, I am here with Sophie Millican, MBE, who is the CEO of Moja and chair of SmartWorks Newcastle. Welcome, Sophie, and thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. Excited to chat.
I know, me too. Sophie, tell me about how you think we met. We mentioned this, but I'm actually struggling to remember how we first met.
Well, you think that we met through Zoe Malin, which is quite possible because she's very connected, isn't she?
She makes lots
of great introductions. And she definitely came to the Moja launch party, which would have been 3.5 years ago now. But I feel like I've known you for longer than that.
Maybe I'm just a bit vocal.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not too shy either. But who knows? Maybe we've met at an event or... But yeah, you're one of these people that I feel like I've known for quite a long time.
Yeah, I think I kind of have that impact on people.
It's no bad thing.
You're a very well-known entrepreneur in the Northeast, Sophie. And I mean, your business journey is certainly a story to be told. Tell me a little bit about how you've reached this point in Moja, what got you here, and also a bit about your chair role at SmartWorks Newcastle.
Gosh, big question. And I think as you get a bit older, it takes a bit longer to tell these stories, doesn't it? So I'll try and be succinct. So I had quite a traditional career path in that I went off to uni because I thought that's what you should do, wanted to be a fashion buyer, realised you had to move to London, didn't want to move to London at that point. So moved back to Newcastle and got a place on the John Lewis local graduate scheme. I did 5 or 6 years, I think, at John Lewis Newcastle. Ended up managing every department in the shop at one time or another, other than the basement. They never sent me to the basement. Not sure why, but probably not a bad thing. And then got this tap on the shoulder, as you do in a corporate, to say, right, you need to move branches to progress your career. So I ended up down in London, which I always find quite ironic, given I didn't want to be there. Went on a 6 month secondment, but never came back to, certainly not to John Lewis. So I was down there, I think, about 8 years. The last few where I'd actually moved back to Newcastle and was commuting once a week, which was pretty tough going, especially when I'd had my daughter by that point. So it was quite brutal. Loved working for John Lewis. It was the glory days of John Lewis, where they were opening new stores. They were top of everything, and it was a really lovely culture. Left in 2012 or 2013, I forget now, one of the two. And looked for a job back in the Northeast and couldn't find anything that paid anything like what I was on at that point, because I was on quite a high salary then. Couldn't find anything in that area, which it was graduate recruitment at that point. So just set the first business up. And I look back and I just think it was so random, really. No real plan, a chance conversation with someone that had a similar commute from Leeds that worked for a bank. We just decided to set a business up one day over lunch. And I look back, it was probably a bit reckless, but actually things happened for a reason, and it worked out really well. So we set up the first business together. And it was a graduate recruitment and employability business. So we used to design assessment processes and materials for big companies like M&S, Expedia, AXA. And the really fun bit was actually working with students through universities, where we would hire out football stadiums and run these large-scale mock assessment centres. And that's what we became known for. And my business partner left a few years in, decided that, you know, it would reach a ceiling point, which would be great for one of us, but not for both. I knew that he was wrong, and then it would do better than he thought. So once I kind of got my head around the idea of him leaving, it was a massive catalyst, because he'd been doing the sales because I'd become a single parent at this point, and traveling was a bit more challenging for me. But he didn't even really have his heart in it the way that I did, and that belief that the business would do well. So the point where I then had to do everything and do those sales was a real turning point, because I really believed in the business and sales came really easily for me. So we just record year after record year at that point, got a place on the Scale Up Northeast program, kept winning bigger and bigger contracts with the universities. So scaled up and got approached to sell the business can't remember when I got approached, but I sold it in 2019. Shouldn't have sold it to those idiots. We'll not dwell too much on that, but it was certainly a learning experience.
Yeah.
And I would do things very, very differently now, but sold it to a couple of morons in Manchester, stayed on, did my earn out, hated it because their values were not aligned with mine and I have very strong values and ethics. So left in January 22, I think it was, set up Moja the same night, and that came about because I had restrictions of what I could and couldn't do for 9 months and I couldn't operate in that field anymore, so had to come up with something new. And actually it was a chance conversation with Alice Hall, who said, well, what are you going to do next? And I was like, I've got this idea. And what made that business really successful was when I was working on all the things that elevated my profile in that space. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a strategy, but I knew that there was a bit of a strategy, or there could be a strategy within that, because I knew that when I did my first book, when I was winning awards, when I was on people's podcasts, all these profile raising things made it really, really easy for me to do sales. Mm-hmm. I was getting approached all the time to do really fun stuff as well. And sales was just so, so easy because people knew who I was and they felt like they knew me when I was meeting them for a conversation. Mm-hmm. So I knew there was an idea in there. We launched Moja March 22, and here we are now in the summer of 2025. And we're still a toddler, I suppose, but very much enjoying it.
So you've touched a little bit on there, basically around what more to do. So you talk there about how everybody knew who you were. That's effectively the concept of what Moja do. So tell us about what Moja do. What is the importance of that for business owners?
So it is exactly that. It's people knowing who you are and you being perceived as that expert in your field. When people know who you are, it makes sales ridiculously easy because they feel like they already know you, even if you've never met them before. And mm-hmm. I've had so many conversations where people feel like that. And this is where it's really important to be the same person that people meet face to face as that person that they see online or in whatever format they're finding you on. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's more important now than it ever has been because we've got AI, we've got tech, mm-hmm. we've got all these different channels where people are seeing you. And I think it's the brand of the individual or the founder or the senior people within a business that will elevate the success of that business more than mm-hmm. the company brand, because people will decide they want to do business with you and you are what makes your business different. Mm-hmm. So if you can be more visible, it's just going to make that so much easier. So I think it improves sales, makes those really easy, but it also creates really fun opportunities because the mm-hmm. things that I get offered on a weekly basis are really fun, some of the things that I get invited mm-hmm. to do. So why would I not want to do that?
Yeah, and I think August actually is the anniversary of me working with you guys for a year now. So yeah, really interesting. And I think you're absolutely right, those opportunities. And you know, I've always been quite vocal and kind of some people knew who I was because I'd do a bit of network and I'll go and talk. But I know certainly from my point of view, working with you, my brand and my business and myself has massively elevated. The amount of people now that go, oh, I've heard of you, or yes, I know about you, or I've met you before, or I've seen you before. It does bring the opportunities through. I mean, I work with you on and you work on a number of areas with people on personal branding, whether that's award entries or whether it's podcasting or whether it's writing a book. And I know you're very keen for me to write a book, which
definitely
we absolutely are going to do.
Yeah.
And then there's other things that we do, like getting us in the press. A very recent one for me, which, you know, I'm very privileged to have, is I've been invited to go on the BBC on a business show. And I've been interviewed by the BBC a couple of times now. Amazing. So it does work. And, you know, I've seen the success, certainly in my business this year, working with yourself and your team. And, you know, they are...
Well, there's a testimonial right there,
team.
Isn't there?
There you go. See, absolutely. And this is why I wanted to do the podcast with you, because... what's really important to me is with this podcast is we're not here about HR. I'm not going to sit and talk about employment law to you. There's plenty of other people doing that. What I'm going to do is I'm bringing guests on to talk about how have I built my business to inspire those future coaches, mediators, HR consultants that want to leave the corporate world and build a business. But the truth is we don't get exposed to the kinds of things that I now do in business, the sales, the business development, the networking, the seat at that table from a commercial point of view, that business side and getting out there and having to grow your business through getting yourself known. So the service that you offer is absolutely game changing. And where people may think, do I put the money into that? I say absolutely. Like anything, it takes time. You can't just suddenly click your fingers and everyone knows who you are within a month of service. It has to be a long-term plan. And I've always been a long-term planner. That's why my events with Zoe is very much the long game. I've never done it for quick sales marketing.
It's that relationship building, I think, with your events, because they've definitely gained momentum since they've been going. And it's that relationship piece, isn't it, around, you know, nurturing those and developing those relationships.
It is. And what's always been important to me as part of that strategy that I built with Zoe, which is very unique, and I don't know anybody else that does it, it's not about me. It's not about inspired HR. It's about bringing the stories and bringing those business owners and those business leaders on a stage, and it's normally four or five, to share their story and give them an opportunity to raise their profile and what they do. It's never been about us. It's about supporting the business network that we're in.
And that's a clever way of doing things, isn't it? Because yes, the work that you're doing with us spotlights you and therefore the business, but actually something like that where you're showcasing other people is quite a subtle approach, but works really well. And I think events are great.
They are, and I'm seeing a growth in them again, you know, since we came out of the pandemic. You saw a sudden boost and then it dropped, but I think now it's starting to find its kind of steady ground now, and people are kind of not doing too much and they're finding their feet with it again. So I am seeing a change in the marketplace, and I know yours has certainly grown. You have obviously your own events, City Ladies.
Yes.
And I saw you were recently in Paris, so tell us about that one.
Well, I mean, City Ladies was a bit of a side hustle. So I used to go to something called Forward Ladies, which was set up by a lady based in Leeds, and she had breakfast events around the country. And I met a really great group of business friends through that, like 10 years ago or something, probably longer now. And that was really, really helpful for me when I was building that first business. And then when she decided to sack off the breakfast events because they weren't particularly commercial, a few of us were like, oh, no, we really love it and we want to carry on. And I think we paid her a nominal amount to buy the database and the rights to kind of carry on with the breakfast. Had a rebrand to City Ladies and launched with Newcastle, Middlesbrough and London the month before the first lockdown. So that was great timing. And it was such a great launch as well. Like, it was so busy and we had great speakers and it was brilliant. Then we hit the pandemic, so we had to do it all online for 2 years or whatever. Less fun. And then came out of it just with Newcastle and London at that point. And then we actually got approached by a lady that was coming to the London one saying she was moving to Paris and could she host the Paris, and we were like, yeah, of course you can. So that has been quite fun. So we did the launch for that in January 24. Natalie and I, who I co-own City Ladies with, just went out literally last month and I got to speak at that as well, so that was brilliant. And seeing how Anna's built that community in Paris has been fantastic, and we're now looking at probably four or five other locations as well.
Wow.
So it's a great community. It's a really good way for women to connect and support each other and all of those great things. And actually the speakers that we have, if they leverage the opportunity well, seem to be getting some decent leads and business from it as well. So wow. I guess it's a bit luck as to who comes to a particular event in terms of those connections. But I think it's a really great network. I'm really proud of it.
I've been to a couple, and they are, I mean, they're just, the community of women in business is just phenomenal. I mean, I see it primarily in the Northeast, but, you know, you're now taking it global, which is just phenomenal.
Exciting. You'll have to come to one of the other ones.
Oh, I will be, don't worry. I'm already in my head thinking, what's the other venues? Any in America coming up?
I've got New York in my sights.
Oh, I might be definitely up for that one. Funny That'd enough, be I've been looking at that for November. I'm thinking of going away with a husband and son in November. I've done New York a couple of times. I will happily do New York
it's
on that
amazing.
One.
Amazing. I'm going in a few weeks. I'll give you some recommendations because it's my favourite place. I spend quite a bit of time there.
Oh, yes. Yes, please do. Because I do the usual like Starlights, but there's got to be people off the beaten track that's much
100%.
Better.
I'll give
people
you a list.
People that local New Yorkers, you know, they wouldn't go to the Starlight. That, you know, the ones that the proper New Yorkers go to that's proper decent bars and restaurants. Yes, totally up for that. So yes, keep me informed on those New York ones. Personal branding can be really powerful for individuals and the impact it has on the business. And when I first saw yourself on Mojo, I observed you for a year before I thought, is it going to work? And then I kind of remember seeing certain individuals, very, very visible. I was seeing lots of things going on. And then it suddenly dawned on me they were working with you. And I was like, ah, so that's what's on the tin. And then obviously I decided to work with you. What's been some of your biggest successes that you're most proud of?
Ooh. It's really hard to talk about successes without naming individuals, and then you kind of don't want to name individuals in case you miss someone off that you should have spoken about and they're watching. Gosh, there's so many, and we get really excited when clients have successes as well. I think we've had a huge amount of success with awards. Our aim is always to try and get clients shortlisted because we, you know, incredible awards, and we would only ever put clients forward for credible awards, and there's a lot of scammy ones out there. You know, we don't have any say or control over who actually wins, obviously. You just don't know who you're up against, and there are some incredible people out there, but where we can hopefully have an impact is to get them on the shortlist, because we know that a great entry that really highlights their success should give them the best chance. And we always talk about how you can maximize the shortlisting for months in the lead up to the event. You still get to go to the ceremony, so you've got all those networking benefits. Obviously, winning is great and it's the icing on the cake, but we just can't guarantee that. So in terms of shortlisting, I'd have to have a look at our stats, but I think we're something like 95-96% of clients where we do their entries get shortlisted. And then obviously the winning would be lower. But you know, that is incredible in itself, because we find that clients can be a bit humble, and we are really great at saying, hang on, this is amazing. You're doing something that's unique, or you've got this percentage increase in your business, or whatever it might be. So we're better at highlighting those wins than you are when you're in your own business. So it's been brilliant seeing that. We've had clients who have released books this year. That's been amazing to see the success that clients have had. All of the clients that have released books with us have gone on to be bestsellers in their various categories, and seeing the joy that they get from holding their launch event or getting that bestseller status is really special. You're like, yeah, get in, because you know the impact it's going to have for them. We've had a client who we pitched for a TEDx talk who was very, very nervous, but we supported her massively with that. That did really well to the point where it got held back by TED to be released on the main platform rather than with TEDx. So she got something like nearly 30,000 views in the first day of that being released. Phenomenal. Like, you just, that's amazing. You couldn't make that up. Or, you know, clients that have been in the press, in the media. So there's just so many examples. And then when you hear about it having an impact on someone's business, it just all joins up, and you can see the impact. So there's lots to celebrate always with our clients, which is nice.
It is. And, you know, I know from experience when I came to work with you guys, I'm very good at talking about what we're good at. And if you get into a conversation with me, that enthusiasm for HR and everything we do comes out. But the reality is, the thought of doing awards where people said to me, oh, you should be putting in for these awards. I'm like, do you know what? If you talk to me, I can talk to you but with passion and enthusiasm about what I do and our successes. But if you ask me to put it in writing with an award, I'm just going to really struggle with that.
And I think it's knowing what needs to go in, because we know, because we do so many of them and we've been judges on various ones, we know what the judges are looking for, and it's very much around stats and storytelling. And I think sometimes when you're in your own business, you don't sort of see that when you're too in it. So you kind of need that outside perspective to pull out the stuff that actually really counts. So it's not just fluff and waffle.
No, and I've seen that in some of the ones that you've done for me, that, you know, they're all genuine reviews, feedback. You know exactly what people are looking for. It's not the fluff and waffle, which I'm sure I would put in if I attempted to do it. Personal branding has had, and working with Moja has had a significant impact on my business growth. I mean, I'm ecstatic that last year, we've hit the 1 year anniversary, and actually my growth last year was 77%.
Amazing.
I know. But like anything, you've got to make sure you're also putting your own work into it. You can't just pay someone and expect miracles to happen. You've got to work together. And I know my plans are to continue to work with you. We're getting some real momentum in what we're achieving. And I certainly am going to need help writing a book, because the perfectionist in me will come out and I'll just overthink it. So I already know, I think it's probably going to be on neurodiversity.
It's got to be.
For HR professionals in the legal field, because it really is the kind of our niche and the gap in the market for us at the moment. So it's absolutely needed out there. Mm. And it's an area that I love as well, you know, helping my peers do things right with their clients like I have as well. So I'm starting to look ahead into the future. What do you think are the future opportunities with Moja and Inspired HR?
Oh, great question. I think the book has got to be it, because from the book, so many other opportunities will come off that. So you're already known for being an authority in that space. You talk about it a lot. You've got a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience. So the book will just crystallize that. It's then going to give you extra content to reuse in other ways. You can use it again in your socials. You can use it for articles, for blogs. Mm-hmm. It will firmly establish you as that authority that can speak more with the press, with the media and things like that. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to do a launch where you can create all sorts of opportunities off the back of that. You're going to be able to parcel that up with talks that you're going to do. So I think that is very clearly the next big step for you. And I think what you'll find, and what you're already finding, is this snowball effect. So you do one thing and then another opportunity comes off that. So I know we've got an opportunity for you coming up on the radio, which has come off the back of other things that you've done, because when we've put you forward for that, they've seen all the other stuff and they're like, right, we need to get Nikki on. So it's all these things that just act as that snowball effect. And now that you've got that platform and you've got content and examples in all of these different areas, I think it's only going to grow. And you've got the podcast as well. We're moving across to video with that, so you're going to have more content snippets that you can share on socials. There's just so much to go at. So maybe the TEDx talk needs to be in the plan as well.
Yes, maybe. And I have touched on that. So yes, we'll definitely be looking at that. Share some practical tips for me, Sophie, for my HR peers, those HR professionals that are thinking of setting up a HR consultancy like me. Not all of them can afford to go and work with an amazing company like yourself and Moja. But what tips would you give them to be starting to then be in a position to be able to do something like this?
Yeah, great question. I think that don't put things off because you can't afford it. Obviously, people work with us because we can help them with the strategy and we can do a lot of the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. But when you just start now, budget's tight, you've got to do things on a bit of a shoestring. So I would say don't let that put you off and look at how you can teach yourself to do some of these things. So my book would be a great starting point, because that will show you how to do it. Maybe we can put a link to that in the show notes. My podcast, Beyond the Bio, it's got some great practical tips every single week. But I think it's getting that information, coming up with your own strategy and just getting started and then being consistent. So even things like, you know, LinkedIn's probably going to be the best platform for those sorts of people. So posting even once a week on LinkedIn is going to be creating some level of consistency, because most people don't even do that. You know, people think I'm prolific on LinkedIn and that I'm everywhere on LinkedIn, but I only post once or twice a week. That's not very often. Everyone can commit to that. And I think that would be a great starting point for anyone listening or watching the show.
Great advice there. So you've got your podcast, you've got your books. I also know Moja, although I went all in, you do individual packages on their own if they've got a particular focus. And interestingly, I actually shared your link to your LinkedIn training yesterday with another HR professional that's looking for some LinkedIn trainer for a client. So
hope to hear from them.
Yep. So hopefully you'll hear from them. So lots of great tips there. Thank you, Sophie. What exciting projects have you got coming up? Anything?
So we have actually, we're hiring for a couple of new roles at the moment, which is exciting because that's going to support the future development of the business. We are focused on LinkedIn training, which is a standalone part of the business, and also the publishing. But we're also going to, and I've not announced this publicly yet, although maybe people will have twigged from one of our more recent job adverts, but we're going to create a membership site. Oh. So for people that are literally starting out that just want something that's really low cost and want to teach themselves how to do it, we're going to have a membership site where they can access all the training and learn how to do it.
Amazing. That's definitely something really interesting. You've heard it here first, everyone.
Absolutely.
And I'll be making sure that is shared with all of my HR peers and consultants and HR network, because it is absolutely brilliant. Definitely something they need to be signed up for. So I look forward to seeing and hearing more about that launch, Sophie. So Sophie, thank you for the conversation today. I've really enjoyed it. I know you've got lots on. I really appreciate you taking your time out for me. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the HR Business Blueprint Podcast. For any information on what we've covered in this episode, head over to the show notes. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Thanks for listening.